Welcome back to the Dogs of War podcast. It's great to have you on the program as always. This episode is brought to you by Szabo Apparel Company. You need some Browns gear for the playoffs? You know exactly where to go. SZABOApparel.com. Tonight's episode, Rowley and I discuss our time at the game this past Sunday. We talk about the Browns in general, how we're feeling, where we're at, and then this upcoming game against the Steelers. Let's go. Right now, you can you ever hear this heater that I have on?
No, but do you smell that?
I don't smell anything.
It smells like playoffs, Kevin.
Turn the music up. I knew that song was playing for a reason.
11-5 in the hizzy.
It's like watching all the cool kids go to the party for years and years you never got invited to, and you always wonder what goes on inside those parties. You know, what girls are there. You know, what dude showed up, and then you finally get in, and I don't know what to expect. I can't wait. My first invite to the cool party is this Sunday night, and I'm thrilled.
Want to hear a...
Let's go.
Hey, this episode's going to be upbeat as a mother F word, but do you want to hear a more accurate analogy, I think? Just in the spirit of movie-like analogies. So, you're in a crew, and your nerd crew never gets invited to the party. But then you and your ragtag group of buddies, you come together. Now everybody in the school thinks you're so cool, and you get invited. You got the invite, and then you find out like 3/4 of everybody in your crew that got you there has COVID.
Yeah. So then your wing team is out. Okay, I get it. I like that.
But you still got to go out. You still got to party hard for the boys that can't be there because they want
you. Welcome back. Old, new, first time, last time listeners to the Dogs of War podcast. If you haven't figured that out yet, this is Kevin.
I'm Raleigh.
And we're going to the playoffs, baby.
The Cleveland Browns are going to the playoffs.
Like, I never knew there was a week 17 or week 8, whatever we're in right now, 17 or 18.
Yeah, dude. Normally,
I always thought New Year's Eve is like December is the end of the year. Like, New Year's Eve is like the end of it.
Or it's like going into December at best, the Browns have like a really, really slim margin of getting into the playoffs. Like they're not mathematically eliminated yet, but they're pretty much there.
And it's that was the only time that was. Or if you knew that if we somehow squeaked by Baltimore or Pittsburgh, we could knock them out of the playoffs totally, even though we already been out since September, but we knew that we could spoil someone else's playoffs. So that's what you start cheering for. But we're here, baby. We're not talking about who the coach is next year. We know who that is. Not talking about who the GM is going to be next year. We know who that is. Not talking about who the quarterback is going to be next year. We know who that is. Now, I don't want to get past Sunday just yet, but this is the most fun/stress-free outside of the game, I mean, times we've ever had as a Browns fans.
Yeah. Well, that actually, not to totally disagree with you, but I'm going to totally disagree with you. I'm like, you'd think that 11-5, if you were to have told me last year, hey, you guys are going to go 11-5 this year, you think it's going to be stressful or not? I'd be like, hell no, that'd be awesome. Like, it'll be a layup the whole way. But it was just like, to the very damn end, it was so stressful. Like, every game mattered. Once again, I think the only game that wasn't stressful was literally the Giants game, right?
Yeah, from start to finish. Yeah, absolutely.
That's like the Cowboys should have been that game, but they almost like gave it up and then eventually put it on him. But every game was stressful. And it's like, of course, it comes down to there's some stat of 4 teams that have 10 wins. One of them will not be in the playoffs. And it's just like, please don't let that be us again. But that's not us because we are in the playoffs. I'm just saying it was.
How about, speaking of, you just reminded me that I think this is the only division now, maybe the first division ever, to have three 10 or 11 win teams, AFC North. I mean, yeah. We're not going to have – people always talk about easiest, hardest schedules. Our division alone will always give us one of the hardest schedules every year. Has to.
Correct.
So there's none of this ever. I mean, we are in the hardest division maybe ever in football. I'm right here. Anyone who doesn't agree with that.
I mean, nobody could disagree with that this year. It's three teams with 10-plus wins, and we all got 11 or more, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So this is going to be outside of, you know, Big Ben's getting old, but I will never put it past the Pittsburgh Steelers to just drop to the very – this is not going to happen with the organization they are. I mean, they've had three head coaches since they became a football team. But so Big Ben aside, we got three young stud quarterbacks. In my Jets, three Heisman quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah. They all three won it, huh?
All of Heisman's. Yeah. And then we have two number one picks. I mean, this is like the conference with so much talent for the foreseeable future. I don't want to hear about other, this guy's in this, whatever. The AFC North is where it's at for a long time.
But it's like, you say that, and I'm like, that doesn't even make me happy. I'm like, oh.
No, I'm cool. Not celebrating it. I'm so sick of, it's been 32, I don't know how many, whatever, how many years of people just talking down on Cleveland football. And right, I mean, we had nothing to back it up, right? Other than just being diehards, and we're still going to cheer for our team. But now I guess we're just starting to finally all say, put some respect on our name. Like, those days are gone. Like, those are so far in the rear view.
I don't know.
I'm not jinxing it by saying that. I'm talking about.
I know.
I'm talking about the attitude. Attitude.
Oh, yeah. The attitude, for sure. The attitude is there. The coaching. I mean, yeah, you're right. I'm all in confidence. I guess that's
attitude. That's all I'm talking about. Yeah.
But I do think that being in this goddamn division has just been such a. It wasn't doing the Browns any favors. And quite frankly, it still doesn't. Like, having to play the Ravens, they've been traditionally great since they stole themselves from us, whatever, since they came over. The Steelers, traditionally great, and the Bengals, they have had a traditionally long history, well, since the early 2000s, whatever, of making it to the playoffs every other year. It's like, okay, now we're in that crew, but annoyingly, they're still there. Like, why can't we join goddamn Washington football team's division, like, just for a couple years.
We talked about that, how it's typical Cleveland sports luck to have every other team when we finally get good. Every other team is just fantastic too in the division.
Yeah. But tell me if this is true, or like if you felt the same way. So we make it in the playoffs. We make it to the playoffs. We have an 11-5 record. Incredible. Incredible, incredible. Cried for so many reasons. And then, like, within a couple of days, it's like, yeah, the head coach, he's got COVID. It's like, yeah, that makes sense. That would happen to us, but I'm not really that upset.
So why don't we talk about, let's flip back, talk about Sunday's Pittsburgh game, and then we'll talk about this coming Sunday's Pittsburgh game.
Yeah, it's a tale of two Pittsburghs.
Very true.
Is that a good episode name?
What's it called again?
A tale of two Pittsburghs?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Because we are really playing a much different Pittsburgh team to an extent this coming Sunday.
Yeah. That's
from sick. a fan's viewpoint. I don't know what it's like being a player. From a fan's viewpoint, I feel like they're adding like 10 players back, 10 starters back on Sunday night, while we're missing however many players and 20 coaches.
Ronnie Harrison. Is Denzel back?
Not sure. Wait, actually, we'll get there. I'm sorry. I just suggested a schedule and I threw us off it. So Sunday's game. You know, they say, you and I have been to two or three games now each this year. They say that the cap is 12,000. I don't know about you. There is a lot more than 12,000 people look like it on in that stadium.
I felt like it was, but I don't know.
It just looked so much more full.
It was electric, for sure. Everybody was jacked. Like, we were in the suite. shout out the Mayfields. But
I hope the players, and I know they talk about it. Our players are smart. They do understand the history of the Cleveland Browns, and they get it from all the fans. But still, what I feel bad for the most is that the players who've never played in Cleveland before, even the ones that have, because never been a playoff game like that or to get into. I hate that they could not have felt the stadium literally burning, collapsing from the fans.
I think they felt it. Like I can't.
I just can't even imagine like, that stadium literally may have burned down from the dog pound after we clinched. It's been literally the same people sitting in the dog pound for the last like 40 years. So they're back. They don't change. Like none of the people they never change. So these people have literally seen it all and been through hell since, and they've been the same seat holder since pre-Ravens move.
Yeah, well, I think the way they're looking at it is that we're not done, even though. God damn,
no, I like that attitude. I agree.
I think these guys, they care, but they can't, like, immersing yourself in the emotions of the fans. I don't think that does really any favors. Like, all it does is that, like, oh, you know what? I didn't want to win until I found out that Raleigh and Kevin are going to be suicidal. And I'm not saying that you're not saying that. I'm just saying.
I hear your side, too.
It's like the emotion that I felt. Well, I don't know what the players really felt. It's a good question. Do you think they were crying?
No, I know they were pumped. Like shit, playoffs. Like they were losing their minds. I'm just saying I wish that they and all of us could have felt the roar of that crowd for us going to the playoffs for the first time in 18 years. Like that would have been, you can't describe that. You can't pretend to even be in that. That's all. I'm not diminishing anything. They are on cloud nine as they should be, but I just still wish that cherry on top would have been that crowd for that moment.
Do you think it's cooler? Do you think when we are like old and hopefully the world hasn't ended for whatever the hell is going on this past year or so, do you think years from now we'll be like, we were at that game and there were only 12,000 people allowed. We were there. I'm gonna make the best of that, and I'm gonna say that regardless on the outside. Whether or not I feel it on the inside is a different story, but I don't know. I felt the whole place was electric.
We will absolutely be able to say years from now that we were at that game, the COVID pandemic game where we clinched with a sixth of the stadium there. Yes.
Yes. Yes. I look forward to that.
And thank you to our friends for doing that for us.
Shout out the Mayfields. Shout out Tom Seipel. I'm sure most of you listening, unless you're totally new, well, if you're new, you're probably
he was the best part of Sunday. He was the best part of Sunday.
That was the most magical thing I'd ever seen. And a lot of people in comments were like, oh, I feel so bad for what's going on. It's like, honestly, even the money raised for him, it was just like nothing compared to the happiness of that day getting into the playoffs, getting to shoot the stuff with Baker and Emily. Like the man felt like a king, and it was so, so happy and contagious. And it was like a, to quote myself, it was like a Disney movie tailored for Browns fans.
That is the absolute, you haven't said that to me yet, so that's new. That is the perfect description for that day.
It's like
to see Tom Seipel, and I said this again the other night, if you don't know who we're talking about, I don't know how you can at this point, but Tom Seipel, you can look him up. There'll be links in the episode description here. He says at the end of every single one of them, he says, my message, the reason why I want my story to go big is because I just want people to love one another. That's all. And he says it just so matter-of-factly, and it's so such a simple idea that people just don't think about that much. And that's why I said, you know, the beautiful thing about it when you have, you know, sports coming together with all this, and that's the message that he wants to push out. And that's why I'm so glad that the world gets to see and hear the story of Tom Seipel, because the world has never needed the story of Tom Seipel more than right now. And so that's where I'm at.
Agree. Well said, 1,000%. And we were fortunate enough, honored enough to be there with him. But on the lighter side, God bless America. When that game got close, I was like, please,
oh man,
please. Hey God, it's me, Raleigh. Tom's here. Please, please, please just give him this. Let him. And then we won. But I was like, please just don't let us blow a 15-point lead. Please, just please. And the Lord delivered.
I was hiding behind something when like one of the, it was an onside kick or something. I was, there's like, I mean, it was a clear piece of glass frame, but I like ducked down and was literally just tucked away because same reason.
I forgot there was an onside kick.
Yeah, that's, there's that plexiglass up there. Like I just like held on to the top and just kneeled down behind it. And I can still see the field, but I just, I'm a loser and that's okay. I'm okay with that.
It's okay. We can't all be Tom Seipels. Just kidding. You're
you know, figure. Oh man, you know, we got to find out how to get more or just make more of these Seipels strong wristbands.
Oh yeah.
He was handing out.
You weren't here?
Oh, absolutely. This ain't coming off. Why weren't we should ask Tom that he needs to make shirts or something. Disciples of Tom. D-E-S.
Well, considering he's a missionary, he'd probably take that as a sacrilegious false god.
Or thing. Fine, then just disciples. We'll post disciple. You know what I mean?
Like lowercase D-E, capital, disciple.
Yes. Something like that. We'll talk about it.
Yeah,
I'm sure he's got to have an agent and manager by now.
Yeah, that's also all of this stuff started going down like Friday night, which is less than a week ago. But back to the Browns. Good stuff, Tom. Thank you, the Browns, for pulling it off, getting to the playoffs. Greatest weekend of all time. God, I
absolutely
hope they can come together. But whether or not, I don't care what the score is. It's like all of this stuff. Joel Bitonio, it sucks him getting COVID. Kevin Stefanski. Yeah. That really sucks, but I'm also like, why can't they get him like a, you know, like a hazmat suit and let him call plays or something from inside of it with oxygen, or like put him on a, if you guys set up, any Browns players listening, if you guys can get somebody to set up like an iPad on a big stick and put Stefanski on one side, like we'll walk around and we'll hold that.
No, we got to get him down. We got to get him one of those lifts. Those lifts that like painters, construction guys use, and just have him go on to one of the lower ends and just raise himself up so he's out of the stadium. Look
like a cherry picker, like a cherry picker thing.
Yeah, one of those things, or yeah, like on top of a truck, or the ones that they have like wheels. Just kind of like you know what I'm talking about.
I mean, it's like you can't be coached from the top of the nosebleeds. Like, would he be talking through the iPad?
Oh, he's got a headset. He's got a headset on. But he's outside of the stadium in like a crane thing. It's perfect.
Oh, but, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what I meant. So my things on this is, first of all, we've said this on the podcast the other night. By the way, if you haven't listened to our interview with Wyatt Teller and his fiance Carly, it's the episode before this. You'll thoroughly enjoy it. Hell of a time. Hell of a couple. I can't wait to do that again. But back to what I was saying. First of all, if you – or even surprised. There's a difference. Okay. You can be very pissed, angry, sad, whatever. But if you were surprised by any of this news that Stefanski and Bitonio, and not just that, I mean, just in general, that something like this happened, nothing hurts us anymore.
Yeah.
It can't. I'm numb to anything. That being said, yeah, it sucks. Bitonio is the longest tenured Brown. He's been through hell. He was here for 1-31. So, like Treader said the other night on the podcast, you know, no one deserves it more than him to be at that game. So it sucks. He's also a big leader. He's a hell of a player, obviously.
Well, Stefanski.
Teller. Why do I keep saying Treader?
They're both T names, sick linemen.
My bad.
Okay.
Stefanski's out. That's horrible. It's like one of the worst case scenarios. I understand that, right? He's a head coach. He's the one doing things on the fly in the games. He's been killing it. He should be coach of the year. I get that. That being said, this isn't like when we lost all the receivers and they had to bring in guys from the practice squad who had never seen the plays or any of that stuff before. Stefanski and Alex Van Pelt are in the same room together, probably, 20 hours a day, 6 days a week. Those things they wear on their heads, y'all, they're called headsets. Stefanski, Alex Van Pelt, and Baker are on the same headset 24/7. So it's not like Stefanski's out and we got to bring some guy in and teach him and train him what's going on. Van Pelt has been doing all of this all year long. It's not like, so what I'm thinking is it's not the same as when you lose a player and got to bring in a practice squad. There is no, you know, second string, third string, like AVP is there. He knows what's going on. So yeah, losing all these coaches blows. And yes, losing Stefanski blows because he's head coach for a reason, but we're not falling off a cliff here just because we got Van Pelt. And I'll tell you one thing for damn sure. no one's, everyone understands anything can happen on Sunday. We're not like, no one is here guaranteeing victory, but there's not a person in Cleveland, especially player or coach on that team, that's afraid of the Steelers team.
I agree with that 1,000%.
No way.
And I also think that, yeah, they are getting TJ Watt back and Maurice Pouncey or what, Marquise Pouncey. But I also think Big Ben, knock on wood, and I hope I don't eat my words, I think he's a liability. I think Mason Rudolph was playing a pretty damn good game, and he was moving. I don't see Big Ben moving like that. I don't see him making those throws. I mean, Big Ben is still a Hall of Famer, don't get me wrong, but if they can find a way to get to him, that's what this is going to come down to. And I think there's going to see some 40 chess from Stefanski. I think they were throwing him off with changing the run series between Kareem and Chubb the way they were doing. And I also think that what was the other one? Whatever. What? Maybe just that. Whatever. Well,
and you got to remember Stefanski, yes, we're 11-5 for a reason. Stefanski is also in every meeting this week writing the game plan. It's like not like he's not doing that either. So obviously, yes, it's you want your head coach there. And yes, it's a bit of a setback, maybe, but it's not like we fell off a cliff. We didn't lose our starting quarterback, knock on wood. We didn't, you know what I'm saying? There's much, much, much worse things that can affect the game.
And the most important thing is there is a cliff for us to fall off. There is a cliff for us to fall off after week 17. So that's pretty sick. You know what I'm saying?
I got you 100%. Yeah.
That was a sick analogy. Well, I was mediocre, but yeah.
I'm excited to, you know, when the season ends, whenever that may be, I'm excited to really look back and just, cause we can't do it now. Our brains aren't able to now, but just be able to kind of digest this whole season.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Compared to years before. We want to do, look, we've talked about Pittsburgh. We've had two episodes dedicated to them. We've brought on their number one podcaster, who I still say that guy knows more about the Steelers than Neva does. We don't need to. Every Browns fan has seen them play now twice at least. So I want to go in there. There's no fans at the game.
Just friends and
so
family.
I like that. Yeah, so that's that. But that has absolutely nothing. I want to go in. No one's – I'm not – this is the first time – this is the least afraid of Pittsburgh I've ever been, ever, as a fan. Let's go in. Let's get physical. Let's get it done, and let's run
predictions.
Some –
we got to do predictions.
Oh, that's what I mean. But let's do some crazy – you know damn well Stefanski is pulling some shit out of left field all game.
I read some tweet that he has like a – in like the spring, he put together like a – how do they describe it? Some like countermeasures in case the whole coaching staff gets COVID. And I'm like, the guy's just unreal, like putting together the doomsday book and now they're implementing it. God, I love him.
That's our coach.
No idea what it entails, but.
I'm going 24-21 Browns tie game. Then Parkey kicks that three at the end.
Nice. I like that.
We got to put better positive vibes out there for Parkey. We don't do that enough.
Yeah, no, he's a good dude. I think that the Browns defense is going to come alive. I think they are going to rock Big Ben. I think
Ronnie hurts.
Yeah, Ronnie.
Ronnie hurts big time.
Ronnie hurts a lot. Yeah, he's got COVID.
Should we got Sendejo's back. At least we got one of our safeties back
Sendejo
there.
Sendejo is going to come out like playing the game of his goddamn life.
I hope he launches like a bull out of a gun. It's got to happen.
We have so many defensive touchdowns. We're going to pound the ball on the ground. Baker's going to go air raid style. So it's going to be both pounding the run and air raid. And I conservatively think it's going to be Browns 42, Steelers 13.
That's fair. And hopefully we get more of our secondary and linebackers back. That'd ought to be great. A pretty nice little help there.
Oh, can we play that? So a couple weeks ago, we did the Christmas album, Dogs of War Christmas album. Can we play?
Bestseller.
Can we? Yeah, it's sick. Can we play Playoff Birth?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So that does it for Riley and I for this week. Once again, Cyple Strong. You can see all the info in the episode description. We're not going to have the Friday 5 tomorrow. We're going to give you the Sunday 5. because we are the last game of the weekend. And
let's call it the Friday Five on Sunday.
Friday Five on Sunday. There you go. So we're going to give some content first thing in the morning. So you have something to listen to. It's still going to be 5 minutes long. Sorry. We'll get the Muni Lot payphone fired up. Raleigh, what do you got?
That's it. Just in light of everything that's happening in the world today, doesn't matter. The Browns are 11-5 and in the playoffs. So love your friends, love your families. Hopefully they're all Browns fans. If they're not, it's okay. You can still love them anyway. I think check out Tom Seipel's vlogs, the stories about him. And I think the guy just gets it. And I hope more of us can get it and bring this country together. We need a freaking time of healing, and we need a time of the Browns kicking the living shit out of the Steelers on Sunday. Kevin, what you got?
That's all I got. Good night, Cleveland.
Come, they told me, pa-ra-pa-pum-pum. A new head coach to see, ba-ra-ba-bum-bum. The finest place you call, ba-ra-ba-bum-bum. Rum-ba-bum-bum, rum-ba-bum-bum. Come, playoff bird, me, ba-ra-ba-bum-bum. Can it be? It's been so long, to see, don't screw with me. The finest place he'll call ba-ra-ba-bum-bum. So you can throw the ball ba-ra-ba-bum-bum. Rum-ba-bum-bum, rum-ba-bum-bum. So to honor him ba-ra-ba-bum-bum when we win. Every child must be made aware. Nah, I'm just kidding.